Well, let's get into our Port Acres Creed of the Week. Number 5, let's stand to recite that. And those who come to service in the morning and the night, you get to have it twice. So you figure after 14 weeks, you've gone through it 4 times, you should have it memorized. Is that how that works? No, that doesn't work that way. Let's do the best we can. All right, ready? We believe the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins and was raised from the dead to offer us new life, and that all who believe in him are declared righteous for all eternity and given life. And again, don't forget, capital L, life, that is Jesus Christ himself. He is the one who's life. Thank you. You may be seated. You ever try to point out the truth to someone about something that's going on in their life, only to have them accuse you of judging you? Right? Don't judge me. Right? You might hear them say that, right? You might suggest to a coworker that drinking and chasing women is wrong because you're an alcoholic and you're married. Right? And they'll probably come back with, "You're judging me," and you call yourself a Christian. Jesus even tells you, "Don't judge." Right? What do you say to that, right? Were you wrong in suggesting that you not do those things? I mean, are Christians even supposed to do that? Is that our role in judging as a believer? I think we're all guilty of judging someone and pointing out some bad behavior in their life to them. Were we wrong to do that? Well, the answer is no and yes. Right? There are some places in the Bible when God teaches us that we are to judge. Romans 13:1. Tell us about how we are to allow our government is to rule and judge us, right? 1 Corinthians 5 and 1 through 5 and 12 through 13 teaches us that Paul judged and expected the church to judge. Matthew 7:15 tells us that we need to judge those who would be teaching us false teachings. But when we see earlier in Matthew 7 where Christ says and tells us the famous verse in the entire Bible that all people who don't have anything to do with God have memorized. Matthew 7:1, judge not that you be not judged. Right? He says, you can't judge me. Jesus even says it. It's written in red. Don't judge me, because what if you're going to judge me? You'll be judged. Right? Everyone has that memorized. They even have it memorized in the King James. You ever notice that? People that have never been to church have it memorized in the King James. They'll say, judge not lest you be judged. Right? You're like, how do you know the King James English on that one? That was pretty good. You've never been to church in your life. So they'll use this pretty much any time our opinions differ than their opinions. That's really how it's usually used. So I think this can be confusing to many, including to us as believers, especially if we really do not understand it. So maybe we ought to understand the multi-meaning of the word judge, and that's part of the issue. To judge has a wide range of meanings in the Bible. From a condemnation judging, 2 Thessalonians 2:12, they might be condemned who do not believe the truth, to making a decision about a plan for life judging. 1 Corinthians chapter 2:2 says, for I determined not to know. And then everything in between. What judgments are Christians supposed to make or not supposed to make? It is not wrong to judge in the sense of making a decision about something to do right or wrong in our life. But it is always wrong to judge in the sense of condemning someone else, their soul to hell, or their situation in their life. When Jesus tells us in Matthew 7 not to judge, he's referring to the condemnation way, right? Don't judge. That is God's job. God's job, the condemning judgment, that's only God's job. You cannot do that. And most every Christian would say, oh yeah. I can't see in their hearts. I don't know their hearts. I can't condemn them to hell or say they're going to hell. I don't know. And most Christians would say that, but yet the words that came out of their mouth sounded an awful like they were. Jesus is saying this, judge not lest you be judged in the King James, right? He's saying this, look, you have your own faults. Let's get you worked out until you're perfect, and then I'll let you help other people. When is that going to happen, right? But in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul is not talking about condemnation. He is talking about discernment. And it's always clear in Scripture which kind of judging we're talking about if you put it in context, if you read it in context. In fact, if you study Scripture out, you will find condemnation judging all through the Old Testament. In fact, that's exactly what God called his judges to do. Didn't he tell his judges in the Old Testament, go and tell them they're going to be judged, right, with fire, brimstone, right? They're going to be judged with war. They'll be judged with pestilence. Go tell them and judge them. You're my judge. Go and do that. You have my approval. Go all through the Old Testament. You see that. Tell them they are wrong and they're going to receive judgment if they don't change. However, in the New Testament, you see a change of direction. In fact, Christ sends his disciples out two by two when he's before his death. He says, go two by two. And the purpose of them going out two by two was to heal and tell them that the Messiah has come. He didn't say, go out and judge everyone. He said, go out and heal them and tell them I have come. And then after he dies, and he's there for the 40 days, you know, before Pentecost and before his ascension there, he's out there and he's sending them out again, and he sent them out to forgive their sins and tell them about Jesus. And then at the moment of the ascension, that great day, his ascension day, he's up on the hill, he's telling the disciples, he's talking to them, and he gives their great commission. Go out into all the world and teach them all the things about me, baptizing him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Nowhere do you see in that line that he's given the directive to go out and judge everybody like he did to the judges in the Old Testament. Because the New Testament takes a different direction. The mandate has changed. Paul writes often of preaching and teaching of Christ and him crucified. Paul said, I preached and I knew nothing, I taught nothing, but one thing, Christ and him crucified. You're like, wait a minute, I can read 1 Corinthians. It didn't sound like Christ and him crucified. It sounds like he's doing a lot of judging to that church in Corinth. But we're going to talk about that just a bit later. But his whole message is about Christ and him crucified. And there is some talk of sin or wrongdoing. Notice it's always within the church. Nowhere in the New Testament do you see anyone going, let's go talk to them heathen, barbarian Romans out there about their sin. No, it's, let's go tell them that Jesus Christ died for them, and he loves them too. So all the, what we would maybe consider condemnation judging, which we, it wasn't, but, you know, we may consider that, was all within the church walls. In fact, when you saw Jesus get mad, who was he talking to? The religious leaders. Those who are in the church walls. He didn't go out to the pagan world and start slapping them around with a whip. Right? They didn't know. So in this discernment judging that we Christians, we kind of get all muddled up in our purpose and our execution of the said judgment. So let's go back to our scenario with a coworker, where you suggested that drinking and chasing women was wrong because he was an alcoholic and he was married. Completely correct. He's an alcoholic, shouldn't be drinking. He's married, shouldn't be chasing women. Right? So having discernment about his action was wise of you, because you do not want your life to get wrapped up in his. So let's say he came to you and said, hey, lie for me. No, I'm not going to lie for you. I love you, brother. You know, we're a coworker. High five, whatever, but I'm not going to get mixed up in your deal. I'm not going to lie for you. That's okay. That's discernment. You're protecting your life. That's okay, right? But the point where you're pointing out to his life, expressing that discernment about their life to them, might not be your place. And looks a lot like condemnation judging when you do it. Who are you to tell me I can't drink and can't carouse around with women? You're like my priest or something like that? Don't be judging me. Jesus even told you, judge not lest you be judged, right? Why? Because it sounds like that, isn't it? So what's our role in that situation? It's not our job to tell every single person in our life all the missteps and bad choices in their life. God has not given you that role or, thankfully, that responsibility. And you can thank God for that. Whew. You mean if someone I know that's a coworker is doing something wrong, and they aren't told that they're doing something wrong, and they keep doing it, it's not my fault? Right. Right? Nowhere did God tell you to go tell them they're doing something wrong. Now, he didn't tell them to talk about Jesus and that Jesus loves them, but here's how we do that. We slide that in. You know, you shouldn't be drinking. I want to let you know that Jesus died for that sin. Like, oh, that's nice how you slid Jesus in the back door back there after you condemned them. Right? I know you're going to hell, so you might even want to have Jesus, right? That's the way it comes across. God doesn't tell us to do that. But for the most part, the sermon is mixed up with condemnation judging our lives and the lives around us. To the point that we have either stopped being discerning altogether, or we judge, condemn others all the time. We've gone the pendulum swing and then you mess it up. So maybe we need to go back to a defined discernment when we need to understand its purpose a little bit. Discernment. Discernment is simply to see and identify differences, such as distinguishing right from wrong or truth from error. It is not necessarily choosing between two flavors of ice cream, vanilla or chocolate. That's not discernment. Discernment would mean and saying, okay, I'm allergic to chocolate, therefore I'm discerning that eating chocolate would be bad, I should eat vanilla. So that's using your wise discernment action. We're choosing. That's the same exact judging that Paul talks about. No different. I'm not condemning chocolate and ice cream to hell, right? I'm just discerning that chocolate's not good for my life because I'm allergic to chocolate, right? It may be good tasting, but it's bad for my life. Real discernment is not choosing what pleases me or what does not please me in life, but in deciding what is best for me and ultimately what is best for the kingdom of God, for my family and my church. And as it relates to my actions or the actions of others and how it affects them. One of the biggest problems in churches today is the absence of discernment, true biblical discernment. We've been led to think that discernment is judging and so we shouldn't judge. No. It is a fact that believers make bad choices, bad discernment, all the time. They accept bad theology. They're unwise on who they follow, what they listen to on the radio, what they will listen to on TV. There's people out there who just listen to anything because it's on. Oh, he's a preacher. He must be good. Click. And just watch him all day long. They'll have PBN on all day long, you know. And you're like, you don't even know who those people are. No, but they sound good. Like, that's just really bad discernment. There's a lack of consistency listening to anybody and everybody, believing everything that is printed or everything that's said on the radio or TV, and making no particular discerning judgment. And we'll say, in that situation, well, he's a preacher, and if I judge that, then I shouldn't be doing that because Jesus says, don't judge. No, that's discernment. That's not condemnation. He may be going to heaven. We don't know. But what he's saying isn't from the Bible. There's a growing lack of spiritual discernment within the church. Bad decisions, faulty reasoning, superficial understanding, shallow knowledge, and ignorance have contributed to more problems in the church than, get this, any persecution that has ever been laid to the church. Think about that. Church's problems typically aren't from the outside anymore. Our problems are from the inside. Ignorance of truth, shallow teaching, shallow understanding, faulty reasoning, right? And that was exactly what Paul was warning of us and teaching us about. Judge, discern if there's right doctrine in our church. Judge, discern if there's an open sin in our church that will destroy the testimony of this church. That is right and correct discernment. But even if there is an open sin in the church, he gives us exactly the way to handle that from his word. So if there's an open sin that you knew about, the action is not to go tell everyone else about what you heard. I heard that Fred and his mistress, Susie, right? Let's pray for them. Right? And that person gets on the phone with a prayer chain and they call. Did you know that Fred, right? That is not the proper way. Well, we're just calling out sin, preacher. It shouldn't be in our church. We're just calling it out. That is not scriptural at all. First of all, it's not your responsibility to call it out. Biblically, it goes to the pastor. And then the deacons, the officers of the church, and then it goes to the church. There's a way to handle. So let me ask you this question, just for the sake of illustration. Let's say you have some young children. Some of you have children that are out of home. Let's pretend they're in your home now. Some of you don't have children. Let's pretend you do. And some of you children, let's pretend you have children yourself. But just picture yourself that you have children in your household, right? And one day you're sitting there, a Saturday afternoon, and you hear a knock on the door, and you go to the door, and there's two nice people standing there, all dressed up really nice. One's in a suit, one's in a nice dress. They're really nice and polite and kind to you, and you're talking to them a little bit. They say, hey, I'd like to take your children to California for a weekend, and we're going to teach them how to sacrifice cats to Satan. And I promise I'll bring them back Sunday night before Monday morning so that we can go to school because we know it's a school night. How many of you would allow your children to go with that couple? Well, yeah, what child are you talking about? Can I keep one and you have the other one? Right? None of us, right? We're not going to do that. No one would do that. You're so judgmental. Isn't that what you just did? You were discerning, right? You quickly made a choice based on a discernment you made in your mind about these two nice people, and you politely, in the most Christian way, told them, thank you, have a good day, and you shut the door. That's judging, isn't it? No, it's discernment, and that is proper. Now, this is a very out there kind of scenario, but I wanted to bring out the point that all of us use discernment in every part of our life, and we need to. Discernment not about what job to have, but more importantly, how will that job that you're going to take affect your family? How will the finances from that job affect your family and your church and your community? How will the time that's going to take with that job affect your family and your service to God that you've already committed to and your community? See, that's all discernment. And we go through that process. We should go through that process every time we have to make choices like that. Discernment not about how many kids to have, but more importantly, how will you raise them to bring God glory? How will you teach them to make right choices in their own lives to bring God glory? How will you teach your children how to make discerning choices biblically and not judgmental choices about other people? How will you make sure that they're brought to Christ and understand His eternal kingdom? That's all discernment. Discernment, not about your neighbors, your coworkers, your family members' actions in their lives, but more importantly, how will you allow your actions and the glory of God to spill over into their life? That's discernment. That's wise. Discernment is not just knowing right from wrong or truth from error. It's about learning how to use the knowledge you have and applying those choices you make and the actions in your own lives. But here's kind of a good scenario. Let's say you have a house and a new neighbor moves in next door to you, and they play music really loud. And you begin to process in your mind already what type of people they are over there before you've even met them. What did you just do? That wasn't proper biblical discernment. At 10 o'clock when the curfew or the quiet time goes off, they turn the music off. They've broken no laws. They're over there just having fun. But yet you're angry at them because they have loud music and it's bothering your watching Leave It to Beaver or whatever. But for months, you don't go over and talk to them because you're upset with them. What did you do? You judged them. You didn't discern them. You judged them that they're bad people. Right? That's not what we should be doing. That's not biblical. We all have to be able to discern between truth and error. And we're warned in the Bible about ear-tickling preachers. We're warned in the Bible about demons and demonic lies and heresies and myths and wrong teachings. We're warned about deceitful spirits. We're warned about worldly fables and false knowledge and traditions of men and worldly wisdom. We're warned about wolves in sheep's clothing, and we're warned about all of that. Those are things that we should be discerning about what's going on within these walls of the church. There is a world of confusion out there, and Satan is very clever So we have to be able to discern the difference between truth and error. That which is good for us and that which is bad for us. Individually and corporately, communal-wise as a church. Seeking out wisdom and discernment is a good and notable desire. Now, if you had known me a long time ago, you would have known that I am very quick to answer people. I still am. But I was really quick before then. Now I'm a lot slower. And you think, well, you're slower? Yeah, I take half a second. That's a lot slower than I used to. Because I stop and try to process what was said. And I've even gotten to the point where I'll say, you know, let me get back with you on that. Well, I never used to do that. Because I'm stopping. Okay, let me really find out the answer on this one. Let me really mold this one over. Let me pray about it, right? But some people you meet, and you start talking to them, and they go, And they look at you kind of with a, okay. And you kind of see the wheels turning. Here's what I think. What they just did, they processed a little slower than I processed, but they did the same thing. They processed it and said, what is a wise choice before I speak these words here? What's the best thing for that? So those are good things to do, to think about. Okay, someone's asked me a question. Well, how should I handle that? In fact, everyone who's a believer has discernment already in them. Did you know that? Some people say, oh, you're just better at being discerning. No, God has put the truth in you. Because He is truth. Right? And He is in you. So if He is truth and He's in us and that truth is already in us, we can discern between right and wrong. But we seem to forget that since He lives within every believer, that He will reveal His truth to you and He'll lead you by that truth as you allow Him to. That's discernment. God, how would you have me deal with this? You let me know. One man said it this way. Discernment in Scripture is the skill that enables us to differentiate. It is the ability to see issues clearly. We desperately need to cultivate the spiritual skill that will enable us to know right from wrong. We'll be prepared to distinguish light from darkness, truth from error, best from better, righteousness from unrighteousness, purity from defilement, and principles from pragmatics. Our need to discern is not just in our own personal life, but in our family's lives, and the lives of those in our church family, and the lives of those in our community. That doesn't mean that your job is to go out to your community and discern their right and wrong for them. No, it's discerning how their right or wrong is affecting us. And how can we allow Christ's love and mercy to spill out into their lives from ours? Discernment is critical to the life of the church. Knowing biblical doctrine is essential in the life of the church. Knowing the difference between true biblical teaching versus traditions of man about the Bible is vital. And sadly, in many churches today, we just do not have that. And it's true because when you go into a church and you begin speaking about biblical truths that goes contrary to tradition, it's amazing how people will get so angry because you're telling them that the tradition that they have might not actually be in the Bible. Well, what are they? They're not being wise and discerning, are they? No, because they're not using the Bible to make their opinion. They're making what they've always known in their head to make their opinion. Christianity has been really good about condemnation judging. We're really good about it. We've been doing that for years, really good. My wife and I have been watching a show lately of like the 800, 900 area where the church ran everything, you know, in England. And the church, and they would condemn people. You have lied to God. Off with your head. I mean, they were really good about that kind of stuff, right? They deserve death, you know. Right? You punched a priest, you shall die. You know, I mean, they were really strong about that. And we see it in our churches, even in America. We've gotten really good about condemnation judging. Let's get out there and picket everything that's on the sun that's wrong or sinful. Yeah, it's wrong and sinful. But we haven't protected inside the walls. We haven't protected what's been going on inside of us. And like I said, we're more susceptible to destruction from within the walls than anything going on out there. If there's a liquor store that's opening up down the street from us, and we pick at the liquor store, that really isn't going to affect us, honestly, people, as much as the sin that's going on within the church pride and anger and unforgiveness. The Ten Commandments being removed from the schools. God never said put the Ten Commandments in the schools. Sorry. We're moving the Ten Commandments off the court lawn. He never said to put it there to start with. Why are we fighting that, but yet we're not fighting what's wrong inside the walls? That's biblical discernment. And going back to what Paul did, you go back and look at 1 Corinthians, what was he doing? He was talking about the issues in the church. And if you go back and read that, and you read it truthfully all the way through, you'll see this issue is wrong. And how do you fix it? Look into Christ. This issue shouldn't be going on. How do we fix it? You are one in Christ. This issue is going on. It shouldn't be going on. How do we fix it? Jesus Christ is your head. He did point everything back to Jesus and Him crucified. So the issues within the church, yes, they should be dealt with, biblically dealt with, in discernment. And it's even discernment of whether I need to deal with it. Sometimes I look at it and go, that's not something I need to deal with. God will work on their life. God will work on their heart. I don't need to mention that to them. But you know, Pastor, it's really going off in the wrong direction. You're right, it is. You're exactly right, it's going off in the wrong direction. But did you know some people in our church haven't given us permission to do that? They may come church Sunday morning, but it doesn't mean they give us permission to go and judge their life. Now, as a pastor, I have people all the time that come to me, Pastor, I really need help. I want you to look at my life and really help me through things, whatever. And I start pointing out things that they've asked me to do, and they still get mad at me. You asked me to point it out to you. Well, I didn't mean all of it. Okay, sorry. I'll stop doing it then, right? No. Keep pointing it out. Okay, don't get mad at me. Okay, and I point out some more, and they get mad at me some more. It's like, right? So I've learned. Some people just have not given me the permission to do that. And that may be in your life. Go back to that coworker scenario. That coworker never gave you permission to tell them what's going on in their life. He never put you in that place that you're their spiritual leader. Now, if he had, if he came to you and said, hey, man, I know you're a believer. I know you're a Christian. You go to church. I see Jesus flowing out of you. Man, you're so happy and whatever. He said, I just need some rock, somebody in my life that's stable. And I make stupid choices. If you ever see me make wrong choices in my life, I give you permission. In fact, I'm asking you to point them out to be in love. I'd really appreciate that. You know what? If Christ is in you and you're already showing love, then you're going to point it out to Him in love. That's a completely different scenario. Or if the kids, if you have adult kids still living in your home and underneath your household, and they're coming home at 2 a.m. drunk and, you know, crashing their car into your front lawn and stuff like that, there's some discernment judging that needs to go on, right? Because it's affecting your household. That's okay. That's in the right scenario and case in that situation. That's your job to deal with that. But if your neighbor keeps doing that and it's not affecting your life at all, you just show them Jesus. And not in a judging way either. Remember that, right? I saw you come home drunk last night. You sure do need Jesus. You know, like, no. That's not the right way to do it, right? The ability to discern right from wrong and make good choices is good and necessary in every one of our lives. So let's get back to using proper biblical discernment and apply that to our life. And remove any hint of condemnation judgment. But that is left to God and God alone. So my challenge for you today is to take some time to allow God to minister to your mind. Maybe we've had made some bad choices recently due to lack of judgment and discernment in your own life. That's where we should start. Let's see, okay, where is discernment in my own life? What's going on in my choices? Let's start there. And then we have to look at the choices of our lives coming up. What are the things moving forward that I need to work on? What are the things of the other choices? Begin making right choices with right discernment moving forward. Let's get our, so to speak, household in order first. And then let's start working on our church and making sure we're all in the right direction and doing what we're doing. And then we can flow Christ's love out to our community with a right focus where He's leading us. As we looked at this morning, as you are the body of Christ. Amen. Let God lead you tonight. Let me pray with you this evening, church.